You're listening to the All Things Good Sports Podcast, a product of All Things Good Company.
Hey, welcome to the All Things Good Sports Podcast. This is Jeff Pulver, and I got my co-host here today, Rico. How's it going, man?
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Good to be back on. So yeah, today we've got some topics. There's a lot of stuff happening in the NBA draft, and you got free agency and trades going on. And we are also going to be talking about NFL because we're 11 weeks in or halfway through when we're recording, middle of Sunday. But 11 weeks in, so we really are starting to see where the chips are falling, where teams are going to be in the playoff races, which players are taking a step forward. So we're going to talk about those two leagues today. So we'll start with the NFL. Here's one thing that I haven't really heard many people talk about is the Steelers. And as of now, as we're recording, they're 9-0.
Yeah.
So, and I think their schedule is not too difficult the rest of the way. So I doubt that they'll be 16-0 or 19-0, right? I mean, they don't strike me as that greatest of all time type of team. Well, I mean, what are your thoughts on the team? What makes them so successful?
Well, I think being tested, well, I think I agree with you. I don't think they'll make it undefeated only because we saw the Dallas Cowboys last week test them and potentially take them down. Mm-hmm. And so,
and they've been pretty crap since Dak went down, too.
Yeah. You have to think if the Steelers face a team that's actually well above 500, that's any type of contender, they should be able to take the Steelers down at least once.
Yeah, at least once.
I was trying to think about comparing it when I was talking to a few friends to the 07 Pat season. And they're not even anywhere near the firepower that we were defensively or offensively. Their defense is obviously good. Then they got this – I can't believe they have this Claypool and then Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
These guys are getting –
yeah, Claypool had that 4-touchdown game. Yeah.
Yeah. These guys are wide receiver stats than their number wide receiver one and Juju Smith-Schuster. So, and James Conner hasn't even had to do much. And Big Ben's had obviously a heyday throwing to some of these guys. So
defense has been great. Defense has been great.
Defense has been very solid.
The front seven and the secondary are both very good. And, you know, that's what it takes to win, right? And if you consider – I was thinking about this earlier because we're seeing a lot of good teams in the NFC right now that are at the top. You know, a lot of well-known good quarterback teams at the top. And we've seen some teams go to the Super Bowl lately that have had not great offenses, right? Or old-school running offenses, spreading the wealth. And, you know, you've seen quarterbacks like – Case Keenum get to the NFC Championship.
Yeah,
Blake Bortles has been competitive. Jimmy G had 8 passes in a playoff game that they won last year. Nick Foles has been there with the Eagles. You know, so Big Ben's better than all those guys, right? And they've got more skilled players on the wing than those guys. I'm not sure if their running game is as strong as some of those teams, but you know, they've got a couple of good backs out there. Benny Snell is a good scat back. But James Conner, if he can stay healthy, then, you know, he'll be all right. But really, the defense, you see a lot of times Joe Flacco winning that Super Bowl. Defense is key. So we're looking at the top of the AFC bracket, and you've got the Titans and the Colts are tied atop their schedule. Titans won today, I know, so maybe they'll take that over. So the Titans are a very good team. And then you've got the Chiefs are 8-1 coming into today. They're playing the Raiders today.
That's the only team to beat them.
The only team to beat them once in their divisional. But the Chiefs are still very good. And then you've got the Bills, who were 7-3 coming into today.
And then the freaking Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins are holding in there 6-3. Yeah,
unreal.
And the Colts actually surprised me a lot because they're 6-3 as well. So we're talking about the Steelers. Going back to them, they're undefeated coming into this week. But putting them up against any of those other teams in a playoff race, do you think that they would win? Are they the favorites going against the Chiefs or the Titans? Like, in your head, would you put them as a favorite?
I know in the last few years we haven't seen a Steelers team like this, but when we used to see a Steelers team like maybe 4-plus years ago that was able to creep into the playoffs, you know, with Mike Tomlin's coaching, they always have a chance to make a Super Bowl run that once they hit the playoffs. So it's scary seeing what they've done in the AFC before, especially with the record they have now going to the playoffs. They definitely have a chance to not only dethrone the Chiefs, but they could make a run this year.
Yeah, they're, like I said, there's a lot of competitive teams, so I wouldn't call them any sort of runaway team, right? I would give them a fighting shot against any of them. Bills are You know, Josh Allen can be a little bit of a wild card. He makes a lot of mistakes, but he can also blow up this year. You know, you see he can run in the same way that Cam Newton kind of could have. He's a power runner on the goal line, getting those short first downs. And he can also scat out for 20 yards into the end zone. He's got a bomb of an arm, though.
Yep, he's been linking up with Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs has been huge. That's been huge. Getting it to a real skill player,
Great move for Diggs getting out of the Minnesota Vikings and coming to a team where he can be the clear wide receiver one and not have to worry about Adam Thielen. It's also working out with the Vikings where they got to go out and draft Justin Jefferson to backfill Stephon Diggs. So the Vikings are actually on a hot streak too, but that's a different story.
And looking at the Chiefs and the Titans, which were the two teams that were in the AFC Championship last year, the Chiefs, the only thing they really have to worry about is they want to be – they don't want that wild card, so they got to hold off the Colts. But they're still playing well. You know, Tannehill's been solid. He didn't explode like he did at the end of last year. But, dude, Derrick Henry, I'll always take him going – end of the season, he always goes off.
Repeat performance, dude. Game-winning touchdown today. That was crazy.
Against the Ravens, And he had that stiff arm in the playoffs last year.
Tossed a couple of Ravens defenders off him and got in the end zone today. And Mike Vrabel continues to impress us time and time again with some of the decisions he makes late stages of games.
You know, that's one team that you always see one team take a step back. The Ravens surprised me a little bit because I think they're 6-5 now, and they didn't lose a whole lot of personnel, right?
No. Mark Ingram's not been the same as last year with his little bit of injuries, so they've been having that Dobbins back him up.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins.
He's not as much of a powerhouse as Mark Ingram was last year, where Mark Ingram would go right through you, and Dobbins is more of a got to go to the outside perimeter guy to get some yardage.
Yeah, and the other thing is Lamar's still been good on the ground. Not as – I think he's on pace. I was looking for the other day for about 900 or 950 rushing yards, which is still like that's crazy. But last year it was almost 1,200. And the big difference has been the passing touchdowns. Yep. I think he's on pace for 24, 26, something like that, passing touchdowns, which is not terrible when you consider what he has on the ground. But last year he had 36.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big difference.
Plus rushing.
And the accuracy as well.
They have that I like a lot, and you'll know this, is that Dez Bryant could be an X factor in the playoffs. Get it the X too.
Is he practicing there now? I didn't see their game this week. Did he play?
I've been following really closely. They picked him up about 4 weeks ago now. He was on the practice squad. You have to stay on if you go to the practice squad for 2 weeks. They elevated him after the 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, he got two targets, no catches. Last week, they sent him back down to the practice squad. I read the reports they wanted him just to get more adjusted with the offense. And then they plugged him back into the 52-man roster this week. And he had four catches for 28 yards today.
Wow, so that's awesome.
He's starting to get an active role again. And I'm hoping what he'll be able to bring to the Ravens when we get to the playoffs are those red zone targets where he can still go up over guys and physically come down with the ball in the end zone where the Ravens – they have that kind of in the tight end right now, but now they're bringing more versatility, bringing Dez Bryant in as well.
I see him getting maybe a low snap percentage, not playing a lot in the middle of the field. But once you get in the end zone, if as long as, you know, the hands are still there, right, and his height's still there. So if he can create some separation or get some contested catches, then it'll be cool to see him get some touchdowns.
It brings help to Mark Andrews, and it also brings help to Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, because Mark Andrews has been their big goal line touchdown target for sure. So taking a sadder note, going towards our Patriots, you know, after all these years being at the top or fighting for the Super Bowl this year, we had a little bit of hope today. They get this 2-7 Houston team that they're playing. If they can win that, then they're back to 5-5. You know, didn't happen. Turn it over at the end and turn it over on downs. And then the sad thing really was at the end, Cam had to throw a bomb. It would have been an incredible play if they made it.
Oh, my God.
But they completed it, and it was about 10 yards short of the end zone. So
Rizzo.
That confirms a little bit about his arm strength, not being what it used to be. You know, he had shoulder injuries, so he's still great on the ground. He's a pretty good game manager, but the throwing is just not what it used to be. He had his second passing touchdown to a wide receiver today in the whole year, and we're in week 11. So 10 games in.
7 interceptions or 8 interceptions, too, to go along with that. Looking back at the season so far, we've seen one game where we were able to contend with the Chiefs, who's obviously the best record in the AFC, but we didn't have a good quarterback. We had to rely on Brian Hoyer, so we never know what to see in there if Cam was playing. We
got that Seahawks game they lost on the goal line play. You know, that was one play away.
And then last weekend we see the Pats beat the Ravens. But now, after they lose to the Texans today, you can attribute almost more of that win last week to the weather playing in the Pats' favor and the Pats just having to come out ahead in the weather last week, because obviously you can see today we're up 12-2 all time before today against the Houston Texans. So going into today, and especially with the team we have against the 2-7 Texans that doesn't have much pass protection, Deshaun Watson had all day to pass. So it just goes to show how weak our pass rush is right now.
Yeah.
Because he's been getting bottled up. That's why they've had such a bad record. He hasn't had a chance to get the ball out to Randall Cobb, Cooks, and Will Fuller. Today he had all the time in the world. He was even getting the ball to no-name tight ends that we would never pick up and start in our fantasy lineup. So it was really unfortunate to see. And like you said, I think it's the check mark to a failed first season in a long time for the Pats.
Yeah. How does Houston miss DeAndre Hopkins this year? He's been unreal in Arizona.
Yeah, it goes to show even picking the three guys that they have now still cannot make up for one DeAndre Hopkins.
We sometimes think about running backs and wide receivers, and when they leave teams, the records don't change all that much, and you kind of devalue them in your head. You say, okay, you lost a wide receiver, but it's just a wide receiver. But you've seen some of the huge plays he's made for Arizona this year, game-winning plays, that touchdown on the bomb last week. And then you look at what happened with Houston, and they have had some roster turnover, but that was the big one, right? And you go from being 10-6 roughly every year, and now they were 2-7 coming into today. Yeah. And Arizona took a huge step forward. And I think, you know, Kyler's advanced in his skill level.
Yep.
But adding DeAndre and having that weapon was huge for them. So I think he's possibly the most valuable wide receiver in the league when you see that. Yeah. Or one of the most, if not the most. So
I would agree.
That's impressive.
I would agree.
Yeah, going back to the Patriots, you know, what do you see with them next year? Do you think this was a one-and-done year for Cam?
I don't really
think they're going to be able to bring him back on a low-value deal for 1 year at a time, or you think they
– I think they did the $500,000, and then they made a option for incentives of how many games he actually stayed healthy for. So I think he'll still end up coming out of the season with a few million in his pocket. I don't know if Belichick's going to want to take another gamble on going another year with him. Or Stidham's definitely not the answer.
No. As we've seen.
And Brian Hoyer needs to get dropped too. So
yeah,
either the Pats go in and look for someone else they like in the draft. And obviously we're probably not getting Trevor Lawrence, because that's the Jets are probably going to get him. But I saw another story that if the Jets are the last team, that Trevor Lawrence may actually go another year. And not
really?
He doesn't want to get drafted.
Oh, man.
So I think the Pats are going to have a tough time going into the offseason.
Yeah, they'll probably be the 10th or 15th pick. And
just
knowing the way that Belichick drafts, he never picks what you think he'll do. So he'll probably, get an edge blocker or something. You know, he won't get a quarterback.
Could get another lineman.
Yeah.
But the other thing to remember is, too, that we had a few guys in Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower that sat out this year because of COVID. So
we had 11 players and I think 7 defensive starters sat out, something crazy like that.
We'll have some firepower, but at the same time, Chung's getting old. The McCourty twins, we're going to have to be moving on from the McCourty twins.
Yeah.
We've known our whole lives. They've been household names. Mm-hmm. McCourty twins are going to be gone. Stephon Gilmore is probably going to be in the last year of his contract.
That's too bad, because he had Defensive Player of the Year last year, and he's struggled a little bit this year. So I heard that they were looking to trade him a little earlier at the trade deadline, and nobody wanted him. The year after he won Defensive Player of the Year, best cornerback lockdown in the league. I mean, I love him. I'd like to have him on the team, but if you're a 4-6 team, maybe you don't need that best cornerback in the league, and you could get some draft picks for him. But I was really surprised to hear that they couldn't capitalize on that award last year.
He put his house on the market and was selling his house, too.
Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
So, we're 11 weeks in, starting to look at MVPs, and I think Russ has been unbelievable, Russ Wilson, and they're in a playoff spot winning their division right now. Do you think that it's his to lose, or you think there's still a bunch of people fighting for it at this point?
I have been very high up this year on Kyler Murray. And I think Kyler Murray, if they can sneak a wild card spot in there, because I think they're going to be in the same division as Seattle anyways, right?
Yep, they're one game behind them. They played them last week, and if they would have won, they'd be winning the division. So, that's the Rams. He's been unreal.
The Rams are above them too, right?
No, I think they're about tied. Yeah, maybe by a tiebreaker. Okay. They're both 6-4 coming into today, so I'm not sure.
I think if Kyler Murray gets the team into the wild card, he should win the MVP with what the team has really progressed. And that guy is on pace to do like what Lamar Miller did.
For rushing yards?
Go for over 1,000 rush yards, I believe. And his pass yards is off the charts and his TDs. I don't know what exactly the statistics were at, but I think he's already into the 20s on touchdowns. He's got not too many interceptions, but I think he's easily going for over 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rush yards. And the team's going to be in playoff contention. He's had them there every game. Now, the one game that you can take at Russell and say it's kind of put him back in the run for the MVP race was a couple weeks ago against the Rams. They were swallowing him up. Russ threw 3 picks. He couldn't get his team in the end zone at all, and they ended up losing to the Rams in the game that they were favored to win. And so that gave the Rams some confidence. So I think so far that one big matchup is one of those deterrents that has me saying, well, you know, Kyler Murray hasn't had really one of those games. He's been performing every game this season. The defense just hasn't been able to come out and help him out enough. I mean, he put up enough points against the Dolphins. He got them up to 30 points against the Dolphins. The defense just couldn't hold the Dolphins, so the Dolphins ended up winning that game as well. So,
And you see some of the other players that you could be talking about is Patrick Mahomes. They're 8-1 coming into today, and he's been great. But the thing is, it's a blessing in disguise. It was too bad because he put up such amazing numbers his first year. He put up 50-something touchdowns with 5,000 yards. And now when he puts up 4,500 yards and 42 touchdowns, they're like, that great. It's like average. Any other player would be, wow, this guy's amazing.
Yep.
You know, but you start to devalue what he's doing just because he's done better before, which is too bad because he should probably be in strong consideration. And then you look at the skill players that have been putting up huge numbers. The biggest one's probably Dalvin Cook, and their team has not been great. So you can't give it to running back on a losing team. And you really do have to have that explosive numbers as a running back to do it. Another thing, I don't think he doesn't have the stats this year, but I just want to give – shout out to Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, they only have 2 losses, man. And that gets me into the NFC conversation. So I was talking about the quarterbacks, that poor quarterback play that we've seen out of them in the Super Bowl. And you've got Rodgers. You've got when Brees comes back, he'll be there. And you've got Russell Wilson all in playoff spots, positioned to fight down to the end. So hopefully we'll see some, you know, high-powered offenses in the Super Bowl.
So to conclude your question, I think we would all agree that we probably have Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes probably in the top contention right now, with right on the borderline Dalvin Cook and also
Alvin Kamara, right?
Alvin Kamara. And then you could say also out there is DeAndre Hopkins. It's probably a top 7 for MVP contenders this year.
That'd be unreal. When was the last wide receiver to win MVP? Was it Jerry Rice, 1-1, right?
Yeah, it has to be. Did Megatron ever get one?
I don't think he did because his team was always bad. So that would be unreal if he could pull that off. Even consider that, you know, Antonio Brown had those like 18 touchdowns and like 1,600 yards and stuff. So they just don't like to give it to wideouts. But like you said, we were talking about his value earlier. That'd be cool. Yeah, so who do you see in the AFC, you know, coming out in the NFC? Who do you see as favorites in both the conferences? We talked about the AFC earlier. Do you see the Chiefs holding on, or would you take the Titans or the Steelers ahead of them?
Well, I think the Steelers have firepower, but I think it's probably the Chiefs to repeat the AFC just because they're coaching, and I think what they have for firepower offensively. Mm-hmm. I think their defense could hold up in a game against the Steelers and hold Big Ben to a high scoring game, but I think that the Chiefs have more firepower than the Steelers do when it comes down to it, especially with Hilaire and Travis Kelce and Hardman, and then they got Sammy Watkins when he's healthy and Le'Veon Bell. So you got a ton of options that can overpower the Steelers. But also, like you said, we can't forget about Derrick Henry and that Titans team. They made the AFC run last year. They could definitely do it again. Henry's not slowing down at all, and he's still a beast. So I think I would say probably Chiefs coming out of the AFC to repeat. And then I think out of the NFC, I hate to say it could happen, but I think Aaron Rodgers is looking just about as good as I've seen him play in a long time this year. I mean, he's making those throws. As much as I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers guy, he's making those throws that look effortless for like 40 yards, leading Davante Adams in stride and just doing amazing things. As Valdez Scantling's back now, and he's a good long-range target.
So I think Lazard will come back before the end of the year. And he was great to start. Yep.
Yeah. So you're going to have those.
Aaron Jones, also one of the best backs in the league. So their offense is unreal. And the one thing he hasn't had a lot throughout his career is a good defense, and they've been solid this year. So.
Yeah, solid defense. So I think Green Bay could honestly make a run out of it, out of the NFC. I don't think the Niners are going to have a chance at all. You know, the Rams are always sneaky because we obviously they're great coaching, and they could honestly make a run for it. But I think
– what about the Saints if Breeze comes back healthy? Yes, do you back like that?
Yes, I'd love to see the Saints have another run at it. Like I say every year, it's just 11 fractured ribs. Breeze is going to be coming back probably right when playoffs start, so he's going to have to be right in motion. He can't even have any flukes coming back in. He's going to have to be perfect. He's going to have to hit the ground running from where he's leaving the game right now. So if they can do that, then obviously I'd love to cheer for the Saints. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, and I think Seattle's Russell Wilson's been great, but I don't know if that defense can hold up in the playoffs. Defense.
Yeah.
So I think that the Packers, it's crazy because everybody says that they're the favorites going into every year for the last 10 years, right? And then they never move forward. But I would like to see either Breeze or Rodgers get the chance to show us what they have, right?
One more time.
Because both of them, especially Breeze at the end of his career, but both of them have been so great for so long, and there's been so few times that we've seen them on the biggest stage. Like,
exactly.
You know, the put up or shut up moment, just like the greatest basketball players getting to see them in the finals. I like to see the people who are touted as the greatest of all time get a chance to show us what they got, you know?
Yep.
So I would like to see them move forward. And like I said, with the Chiefs, like, it's hard for me to pick someone over them because they just haven't lost anything as far as, you know, their groove. It hasn't stopped. So and I think if they're looking out based on what happened last year, they're probably still most afraid of Derrick Henry compared to everything else that they see. Especially you see him go off today again, and each of the last couple of seasons, the second half of the year, he's blown up for those 150, 200-yard games. He always rests himself in the first half, and he's ready to blow up, and he's done the blow-up stage. So watch out for Derrick Henry, but I think Chiefs and seeing someone like Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes, that'd be a all-time quarterback matchup if it happens.
It would be. Now, what do you think? We didn't even talk about them. What do we think about the AFC Championship run for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and our old
boy? We totally skipped the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How could we? They're in a wild card position right now because the Saints are ahead of them. Yep. Oh, man, get them in there. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it. I can't believe I wasn't even thinking about them. But I think they're 6-4 coming into today. And, you know,
they got a big game.
Give Tommy the ball, man. Give Tommy the ball, and let's watch it. I'd be rooting for them first and foremost, man. First and foremost, now that the Patriots are out of it, you got to see Tommy go for number 7. You know, they got a lot of good quarterbacks in the playoffs this year.
We saw one game that we talked about, one game that Russ had that was suspect. We also saw a Brady suspect game when they got blown out 28-0. Was
that 4 or 5 interceptions?
Yeah.
Right?
Was that was that the Rams or Seattle again?
I can't remember which team it was. It was a primetime game though, and
that was the Saints.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, interdivision game. That did not end well. It was like 39-3 or something crazy He's also had those games with 4 and 5 touchdowns too, so he's been a little streaky this year. But I like that they're letting him let it fly. And like last year, he had to be so conservative in the offense.
Yeah, look at the weapons.
Yeah,
weapons are crazy, dude. Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Gronkowski, Cameron Brate. Mm-hmm. Unreal. And then Jones Jr., the third, and then they got Leonard Fournette as the backup too. It's unreal.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, now that you bring him up, I want to see that happen. I'm going to be pulling out. It reminds me a lot of Brett Favre when he went to the Vikings. And they had that one shot, and he threw a pick in, I think, the second round of the playoffs that ended their season. But he had a chance. He had a chance there to go to another Super Bowl, and people were pulling for him. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that are, you know, on the edge of their seat. Oh, can Tom Brady do it again? You're probably going to have Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees in the playoffs, plus Ben Roethlisberger, Pat Mahomes. You know, it's going to be some heavy hitters there at the quarterback position. It'll be cool to see.
Good thing about the Saints is that they're not going to have the Vikings in the playoffs to worry about knocking them out for the third straight.
Oh, man. They don't want to see them.
No.
First of all, we had the draft. Let's hit that. So we saw Anthony Edwards go number one. LaMelo Ball notably went number three to Charlotte.
MJ.
What do you think about that with LaVar saying he can beat MJ one-on-one?
I was very interested. I didn't think Michael Jordan would want anything to do with any part of the Ball family because of LaVar.
Me either.
But the fact that we saw the notification that he gave his okay to go ahead and draft Ball if he was available is just like, wow, okay. Do you think he's going to be franchise changing? I mean, obviously, we got to think he's going to be better than Lonzo because Lonzo is only averaging 12 and 6 or 12 and 8 last year, 12 points, 8 assists last year. So you got to say he's definitely going to have more of an impact than Lonzo Ball to the NBA. But is he going to have that Zion Williams franchise changing, game changing ability that Zion brought?
First of all, I just want to say James Wiseman went number two to the Warriors. I skipped over that. So, but that'll be interesting. We can get the Warriors in a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about LaMelo, I thought he was a better shooter than he is. I was looking at his statistics from his pro league last year, and he averaged, well, put up good stats like 17, 7, and 8 or something. As the age that he is, that's real good numbers. But I think he shot 28 or 29% from three. Okay. And I thought, because he always puts the ball up, I thought he was a much better shooter than that. So if he can't improve his shot to be in the mid-30s, he's not going to be able to pull it the way that he has. You know, since high school, he's had that green light. He had that 93-point game in when he was a sophomore in high school. And
right.
I know ever since then, he's been famous for just putting up crazy number of shots per game. So I think he's got to be a volume guy, and he has a chance to be really good. He has a chance to be really good. He does not play defense the same way that Lonzo does. So people came out, Lonzo came into the draft, and he was touted as being, you know, like a Magic Johnson passer, which he does have very good passing ability and a good offensive player. But his shot was so terrible when he came out that he really struggled, and he couldn't shoot going right at all. He couldn't. He had to stop every time he was going right because the ball was on this side of his body when he shot. So that ball was exposed whenever he went this way. So he really struggled pulling up, shooting off the dribble, and then he struggled at the rim as well. So he had some real struggles on offense. He's getting a little bit better now. But where Lonzo has really excelled is he's actually one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, and he has been since he came in. He gets a lot of block shots. He can lock people down. He can play off ball a little bit, but he's really good on ball, containing people and contesting shots. And that's where he's going to be a decade-long impact player, is defensive end and passing. But he won't be the franchise player, like you said, that right. people thought he would be. What I worry about with LaMelo is if he's not playing defense at that level and he's not able to shoot prolific three-pointers, then what are you in this league right now? Are you Jamal Crawford, Nick Young type of guy, like Deion Waiters, where you just put up a bunch of shots and you're like overconfident and you kind of annoy people a little bit, you know what I mean? And you're like, you can put some unbelievable moves on the floor, but I think that's his floor, right? Is being that six man over hyper-confidence, fadeaway shooting guy. But his ceiling is he has a chance to be a legitimate all-star. And I think he's got to be kind of like Lonzo and from a personality standpoint, and really show that, I know I have a big name, I know I'm a celebrity, but I'm willing to put in the work, because I think that's what MJ will demand of him.
Yeah. Now, do you think where his size is not going to be a Zion Williamson dominant down low?
He's 6'7", right? He's 6'7" and skinnier than Zion.
I'm kind of thinking he's coming into the league similar to an Andrew Wiggins, where he's explosive going above the rim to finish with dunks, emphatic dunks, going over guys. But he doesn't have that jump shot that Wiggins also didn't have when he was coming out of Kansas to the NBA. So obviously we've seen Wiggins adjust a little bit. He has a pretty good mid-range now. He's not great from behind the three, but we've seen a little bit of improvement from Wiggins, but it's also been slow over time. So we saw Wiggins come into the league and we thought he could be this, same thing we're talking about right now with LaMelo and explode, but it's kind of been slow progression. And now Wiggins is like a middle of the pack guy.
What's crazy is we're talking about this and we're talking about skill level and statistics and, the way that most people talk about basketball. But when it comes down to it, when you look at statistics and shooting ability, what is the major difference between Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, right? It's the ability to take over and be clutch and be the man, right? Which is something that we always saw as Andrew Wiggins didn't necessarily have that killer instinct, because he could put up a 47-point game here and there, and he could put up 17, 19 points a game. And that's what Butler puts up. He puts up like 18 a game, but when his team needs him, he takes over. So if LaMelo has that, right, if he has that instinct, which I think he's confident enough to have it, then he can be a real star without, you know, even if he does shoot 32% from three in his career, and he has that instinct, then you can be a real star in this league. So let's see what Charlotte does at the end of games, right? Do they start to run the offense through him? Because they've got, you know, Gordon Hayward, they just signed him. They've got Terry Rozier.
Yep.
But let's see. He's got to be that dude, right? He's got to be the guy at the end of the game. And if he can do that, we'll see that. That's the type of thing you see from people, you know, almost immediately. So if he starts making those shots at the end of games, we could know pretty soon that he's going to be a star. You know, what do you think about James Wiseman on the Warriors? He's really, really big dude, and he ended up opting out of the season to prepare for the draft. So it's tough to know what the Warriors roster was this year, because everybody kind of opted out and like, oh, my back's hurting, like Draymond. I'm done for the year. Let's just play scrubs and get a number two pick.
Yeah. Right?
We didn't see much of the players actually on the floor last year. So we just heard about Clay. It's very sad news.
Terrible news.
After he had fully recovered.
Can you imagine that? A year coming back and then your other Achilles torn. Dude.
Kind of like what happened to Kobe, you know, much older later in his career. But he tore his Achilles, came back, and then, you know, broke his leg, and then came back, and then tore his shoulder. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. Again and again, so it's tough. I heard people talking about this on the radio. It's like, who are these other players that have had two full years out in a row? And you're talking about like Derrick Rose and John Wall and those players. We'll see. Hopefully, because I mean, he uses his athleticism a lot to run off screens and create separation, and he does get a lot of elevation on his jump shot. But because so much of his skill is the shooting, hopefully he'll still be a really valuable player when he comes back. And by the way, this is a different leg than his ACL tear.
Right.
Now he's got two kind of bum legs. Yep. Very sad to see. But when you look at the Warriors, you will have Steph Curry and Draymond, and you've got James Wiseman, and you've got Andrew Wiggins on their team now.
They just signed another guy, too, a couple days ago.
Kelly Oubre?
Yes.
Yeah, Kelly Oubre. Yeah, he's a good defender. Oubre. Yeah, they signed Kelly Oubre. I just saw they signed Ken Bazemore, who'll be a bench player for him. So you've got James Wiseman, who they're talking 5 to 10 years ago, probably closer to 10 years ago now, he would have been a no-brainer, a number one pick, because he's really big. He's got good post moves. He can actually get to the perimeter and contain players. He's super athletic and strong, so he can get out and contest in the way that, you know, some of the better defending bigs these days have to do on switches. So I think he'll be a really good player. And I think that they were going to try to trade him for this pick for someone else, and then they saw Clay go down.
Yeah.
Maybe took the foot off the gas pedal going for a ring this year, but they still have a lot of good players. Do you think Andrew Wiggins could be a huge role player for them?
I think he could be – I just don't see a replacement for Clay Thompson, no matter what you do, with that Splash Brothers. I just think Steph Curry, you can't will the team to the finals, and Draymond brings a lot on the defensive end and passing. But he's not very much on the offensive end there. So you're going to be relying on a new rookie in Wiseman. Wiggins, who's there sometimes, but he also has really cold streaks. And then Steph Curry, who is just going to be shooting threes a lot. So you really are losing. And you're losing, you know, you don't have Iguodala to make the runs anymore, who was your kind of small forward defender.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Well, I don't think they're going to be having much of a chance at a run this year, unfortunately.
That's too bad. Hopefully they'll feel a good enough team to actually be competitive.
At least playoff.
Yeah,
that's what I think, too.
And I think that they'll be able to do that. And I just want to see Steph play for a full year again.
Yeah.
And, you know, and put on a show the way he used to when we used to watch him together. So getting on to the defending champions, they made some moves this week. They traded Danny Green and a draft pick for Dennis Schroeder, who was second in sixth man of the year voting. He averaged 19 points a game last year. And what that does is they kind of said, we're going to take him instead of Rondo. Rondo just signed with the Hawks. You know, I wish Rondo the best. I'm a big fan of Rondo. But this is a much younger, more athletic player. He can play better defense. He's quicker. He's better at getting to the rim. And he still runs really well pick and rolls. So I think that's a huge addition for him.
What do you think Rondo's feelings feel? I mean, he is a large part with Anthony Davis in winning that ring. I mean, the top three impacts to the team were Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and then Rondo was the third guy.
Yeah,
that was just,
there was no real third guy because Kuzma didn't step up the way they wanted to. So in the playoffs, Rondo was huge. Yeah, you're right. And I think they also lost Dwight Howard. They didn't want to pay him anything, really. So he signed with 76ers for a little over $2 million.
Isn't that unfortunate, though? Why couldn't they just bring those two guys back?
I thought that they would be able to. But once they got Schroeder, I knew that Rondo was going to be on the outs. So they also signed Wes Matthews, who's a really good three-point shooter and defender. So they decided to maybe just get younger, right? Because they also brought in Montrezl Harrell, who will take Dwight Howard's position. And they have McGee right now. They might be trading him, which is too bad. Yep. But I think maybe with Howard, they couldn't promise him a bigger role. And he was huge all year and then didn't play or a very, very small amount of time in the finals, which is too bad. Because they just said, hey, we're going to run a smaller lineup. And being Dwight Howard, putting in the work, earning your contract because he was non-guaranteed last year, and then getting all the way to the finals and wanting to celebrate and knowing that you didn't have the role in that series, that had to be pretty tough for him. And Rondo, I think that they knew he would want a little more money than they were willing to pay him. And he's more of a playoff player than a regular season. He wasn't great during the regular season. I know he doesn't like to hear that talk, but – He knows when to take his foot off the gas and then when to put it back down. And he was huge in the playoffs. But Schroeder's a better long-term option if they're going to be able to keep him past this year. And then Montrezl Harrell, who they brought in, really surprised people. He got 2 years, $19 million. I think that's a steal for him because he actually won Sixth Man of the Year, put up points a game. He's athletic. He runs the floor. He switches because he's not as tall. And
block shots.
He'll be huge. I can't wait because, dude, I remember when we lived together and we used to watch the college basketball a lot. Montrezl Harrell, Louisville, he was your favorite player in college.
Yeah.
He was unreal.
I was really hoping the Clippers didn't let him go, and I thought that they should have given him whatever money it was going to take to keep him there. I think that's kind of poor that they didn't. Mm-hmm. But now, obviously, Serge Ibaka is going to be trying to be that replacement role, but Serge just doesn't have it anymore, what Montrezl Harrell does. So
he doesn't offer the same skill set at all.
Yeah, it's a downgrade for the Clippers and then an upgrade for the Lakers as far as Montrez. But I really think I think it was tough to let Rondo go, but then sign Latavius Caldwell-Pope for 3 years, $40 million, instead of trying to retain Rondo. I just don't think –
Caldwell-Pope, here's how I feel.
I don't think he's worth that money.
No, here's what I feel about Caldwell-Pope is because I'm a Lakers fan, as you know. So Caldwell-Pope signed a few years ago, and they got him on a one-year, $18 million deal. And then the second half of that year, he was playing while, like, in jail. Yeah. You know, house arrest or whatever. He was leaving his self-prison to go play Lakers, and he was terrible. And then the next year, he was, you know, really, really streaky, like 10-point-per-game guy, and couldn't trust him down the end of the games at all. He had the worst shot selection on the team. And then last year, he kind of played that same way. The second half started to get it going, like had a hot streak. And then in the playoffs and in the finals, he was unreal hitting threes. He was hitting everything in the finals. And I think, obviously, he was a huge part of their victory this year, but it might be fool's gold because we've seen so much of him.
$40 million.
Yeah, we've seen so much of him being streaky and playing poorly and taking bad shots that committing to three more years of that money level, I was a little disappointed that they paid him that much, honestly.
Yeah.
And Danny Green struggled a lot this year, so they got rid of him, and I get that. Caldwell Pope, he was touted as this big defensive, great defensive wing, and I think he mostly just kind of – he's all right on defense and pops threes. Yeah. And when he's hitting, that's a very valuable role in the LeBron offense because you just kind of clear out, shoot the threes, and that's where Wesley Matthews will be great. But I was hoping they wouldn't spend that much money to keep him. The Celtics, they've been contending for many years now. And the big moves that they did was they brought in Jeff Teague, which I think he'll be a great backup point guard, better than Wanamaker and the people that they've had before.
Wait till the next name, though.
Tristan Thompson?
Oh,
that one excite you at all to see that? Yeah.
Disgusting.
So here's how I feel about Tristan Thompson is I thought, as a pretty big basketball fan, that he'd been terrible. Because the Cavs have been terrible.
Yeah.
And I looked back at his stats, and he was 12-10 last year, and like about 11-10 the year before, which were career highs those 2 years.
On terrible team,
yes. Don't forget that. But like even per 36 minutes, like production, that's pretty solid to get back-to-back years, 10 rebounds per game. But that's been like the worst team in the league for 2 years in a row. So might be empty stats. I don't know.
I think I've talked to some Celtics fans, and obviously, I don't ride and die with the Celtics like I may have back in the 2000s. But I've talked to some Celtics fans, and I'm just trying to get them out of the deception that they have to keep standing up for everything that Danny Ainge does now.
Every move,
it doesn't make sense. He's making safe, mediocre plays out there, and he's not going out there after the guys he should.
And they let Gordon Hayward walk, which I think – That's a good decision, right?
I think that's awesome.
Because Charlotte just spent 4 years and like $150 million.
$30 million a year.
$120 million. Crazy.
He is nowhere near that talent right now.
No way.
He was riding some good years in the Jazz when he came over to the Celtics. I hated the trade all the way from the start. Even without the injury, Gordon Hayward's slow. Gordon Hayward is not up to speed with where the Celtics need to be when they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown running up and down the court 100 miles an hour sometimes. He was not the
He's a good facilitator. He's good at a lot of things, and that's what he does. Is he's like above average at everything on the floor, but that's not 30 not million gonna, type of guy.
That's not what you need, no. So I was thinking –
what you're saying is they have been a conference final contending team that haven't been able to get over the top, and these moves don't look like they're going to do that for them. Right.
No, not at all. You have Enes Kanter, who you didn't play at all last year.
Didn't give him any time. Yeah.
The guy is a offensive rebound phenom. He literally used to get tons of offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds back in the days at OKC. He was so reliable.
That pick and pop with Russ was unbelievable. And Damian Lillard after that.
Yeah. Steven Adams was available. You could have went out and got yourself a real big man.
That would have been huge.
That plays right into Brad Stevens' offense, set up a half-court offense, run a play, Steven Adams down low, getting you boards, boxing out on the defensive end, or protecting the rim. You could have went out and paid Montrezl Harrell more to not go to a L.A. team that's very popular or, like, you know, the top teams in the West. You could have paid Montrezl more to come.
Yeah,
you
Rico, they gave Tristan Thompson and the Clippers gave Serge Ibaka the same exact deal the Lakers got Harrell for.
Montrezl.
How could they not offer Harrell more money to steal him away?
You also had John Collins from the Hawks that dropped 20 points a game last year.
Yeah,
you could have given
player.
Him a deal and you had him come from the Hawks. And you could have had – there's so many better options that you could have had as a Celtics team to make that center role more solidified. And you just went out and got a guy that had good stats on the worst team in the league. That's like watching – Spencer Dinwiddie get dropped 20 games for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
Dinwiddie. But if you toss him on a good team, he's going to score 12 points a game.
Yep.
That's just the reality of it, dude. The Brooklyn Nets, if he plays there this year and KD and Kyrie are healthy, he's going to score 12 points a game. That's the effect. So if you take that effect and Tristan Thompson on this good team, I mean, Tatum and Jaylen Brown are still going to be getting rebounds as their athleticism obviously is going to make them have. So I don't think Tristan Thompson is going to be getting the same boards a game.
I don't know how because LeBron convinced the Cavs to give him the big money and give him that $88 million deal. And I think they almost immediately regretted it the next year.
Yeah.
So I can't believe that he came out and earned $9.5 million per year.
I was
very surprised to see that number. I was like, okay, Celtics added Tristan Thompson. What's that, $4
veterans
million?
Minimum.
Right? I thought it'd be 2 years, $4 million.
Veterans minimum. With some incentives, maybe. Some incentives, maybe, for some stat. But, dude.
The thing about Tristan Thompson is that what people don't realize about him is that what he was best known for is what you're mentioning, the need of offensive rebounding.
Offensive rebound
but
for the Cavs.
He's always been a bad defender, and he's never been able to block shots. He's always averaged like 0.4 blocks per game. Like, small forward level blocks per game. So he doesn't provide that protection on the inside. Robert Williams is going to be a much better interior defender for them this year.
He used to go up and get alley-oop dunks from LeBron James that are wide open, and he would get an offensive rebound and kick it out to a wide-open J.R. Smith who drained three.
Yeah. So one thing that we talked about a little bit off-air is the CP3 going to the Suns. What do you think about that and him playing with Devin Booker?
I think that's still – I mean, I think he'll help Devin Booker grow a little bit as a player, but I still think the Suns are going to be a borderline eighth seed. Yeah, they're lucky
because they just barely missed it. Remember, they were—I think they were 31 and 37 or something like
Guess
that.
What? And they Trailblazers missed it. Stay mellow. Knocked him out.
Okay. One game. For one those game of you who league. Have not listened to all our episodes in the past, Caleb's favorite player of all time is Carmelo Anthony, and it was great to see him play last year, man. We
comeback season.
Hiatus and
comeback season.
He had some huge shots going into the playoffs. So, how do you feel about seeing him play again?
Oh, I'm very happy that the Trailblazers brought him back, and I think it's a way better fit than Houston or OKC because you saw Russell Westbrook. He's a guy that goes 200 miles an hour, and Carmelo Anthony's knees and legs are just not ready for that pace in offense. Damian Lillard and CJ like to go down. Sometimes they can go fast-paced together, but when they're typical offense, they like to go down and set up in the half court, and Melo can stay on the perimeter and drill a three, or if he's in the post, he can work someone down low, and he still has his – obviously, variety of post moves to get buckets. And he has been getting buckets still, and he's lost some weight. So he's in a good athletic state right now. I just actually watched him the other day. He's getting up more even than he has in the last few years dunking. So it'll be nice to see him still dunking this year. And
Hoodie Mello is real.
Hoodie Mello is real. So ever since that.
What makes me most happy about this is that he's kind of bounced around a lot. And he hasn't found a team that he's gelled with, that he's had good chemistry with. And a team that appreciates him for what he is. And the players, CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard, told the Blazers that they wanted him, immediately praised him as he came in the door, and then continually gave him credit throughout the year. And they wanted
the ball.
They gave him the ball and gave, you got, what, 16 points per game?
Yeah.
So it's good to see that he found a situation that works well with him because most experts and analysts never believed that he would again. But they gave him that opportunity. They gave him that opportunity.
Signed off on him.
The players, these guys that grew up watching him and modeling their game after him,
they love
him there, and they love him. Yep. And he loves it there, so it makes me happy to see.
They've been
setting
up.
He'll keep climbing up that all-time rankings for scoring too, right?
Yes. I think he's at 20, and he has the next drop to go down to is like 19. And I think I think this year he might be able to pass.
But that's a very tight window to pass. He could be 15th or something by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Be cool.
And the other thing is, They were relying on him in the clutch too, which is what we know Melo's been big for in the season. So in the playoffs, he hit some big shots. And
he can score 8 points in the whole game, but hit the two biggest shots at the end.
Yeah,
and he can pull it off.
Unfortunately, we'll see the Trailblazers probably be a first or second round exit again in the playoffs. But it's still exciting to see them because they can definitely have some hot streaks. So that'll be fun to see.
Team has a ceiling, but I love watching them play, man.
I compare what Carmelo Anthony is doing in the NBA right now, where people wrote him off and didn't really think he could have much of a comeback and impact of the game still, to what Dez Bryant's doing in the NFL now too, where he hadn't made a catch since 2017. He's been grinding. He came back with the Saints and tore his Achilles. He's been out for 2 years, and everyone's writing him off saying he can't make an impact anymore. But he's been running routes every day with younger guys, and he finally made it back. And today was his first sign that he's actually going to be able to make a difference in four catches and 28 yards. So it's really cool to see
finish
those comeback
off
stories.
On,
I know me, you, and
yes.
me, you like to see them.
So to finish off on that note, I just want to give a shout-out. It's a few weeks old now, but Alex Smith, he's playing for the Washington football team. And
728 days.
Makes me so happy to see. You know, the crowds were empty, right? But you saw his wife and his kids up in the stands. And these kids are so young that they don't really remember him being good. It's been that long. So he wanted to teach them a lesson of not giving up and working for what you want. And he did it, and he made his way all the way back from something that they thought he might die from that injury. Likely he was going to lose his leg and get it amputated, and then he's back on the field playing NFL football and earning his way back on. You know, he's not playing amazing or anything, and he's on a bad team, but just getting out there, that's a huge accomplishment. We want to give a shout-out to that.
It is. It really is, man.
Well – I think that'll do it for us today. We'll have to do this again real soon. And thanks for tuning in to the All Things Good Sports podcast.
Peace out. Thank you, Jeff.
Adios.
Thank you, everyone.